From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Oh, it's good to be back. It's Garth, it's Leon, it's Mark, it's The Dice Men Cometh. It's episode 265?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a cold, very dark and very wintry day in little old Hobart. And for those of you who are listening last week, have Leon, have you finally got your Sunday story sorted out yet?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you exactly what I did on Sunday at Bordercon.
Because we had quite a few people saying, you teased what Leon did on Sunday for most of the episode and then you just left us hanging and the episode was over and you weren't able to finish the story.
Okay, well, I can tell you if you like. I woke up, I felt, I think I'm still drunk, not even hungover. I went back to sleep, got a message from you saying, I've got some good news, went to Bordercon. You gave me the good news. We sat down. We played about a 30-minute board game, and I went, I'm going to be sick. Went back to the hotel. Wasn't sick. Ordered the beautiful pizza. Went to sleep again, and that was my Sunday of Bordercon.
Exactly. So spends all the money, goes all the way, flies and drives and everything for a bit of a snooze.
Yeah.
And a pizza.
He was the big boy on campus the Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Taking his photo of the last person standing at Bordercon.
Yeah, I've done it 2 years in a row now. I mean, I've regretted it both times, but I will probably do it again next year.
Correct, but it counts for naught.
Indeed.
If you can't back it up the next day. And on that cheery note, the Dice Men Cometh here are going to be talking about arguably the biggest, baddest award in all of Eurogaming.
Oh, yeah.
Because only a few nights ago, Garth and Leon were able to join this remarkable goal that Mark had already achieved, which is to play all of the Spiel-nominated games and now all of the Kennerspiel games. And tonight, we will be talking about the last game in that sextetology that we played. And then we'll be leading into our Kennerspiel conversation and picks, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, lads?
Although, I think, Leon, you didn't actually play Carpe Diem at Bordercon, did you? You lucky son.
I was going to say, I looked at it and went, that looks rubbish. And then you guys said, yeah, it's rubbish. And I went, I think...
Oh, spoilers.
Burying the lead, Leon. Come on.
I think on this occasion, I will take your word for it.
All right. So we better get to it because, as luck would have it, we've already programmed a full show. We know we're going to run out of time, so we've got none of it left for idle chit-chat. So here's your song. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and we will be talking on the other side of this break about a Kennerspiel-nominated game with the Dice Men Cometh.
My name is Cameron. The Dice Men rule, and they had me at hello.
Well, there you go. That was SPLT with NMCNMP. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Clearly, they ran out of names.
I deliberately didn't say full stop after each of the letters, but they're in there.
And it did take the solid 2 minutes that song went for us to write that into our computer system. So that's the kind of quality you get from us.
The good thing is, between the three of us, we can do one task pretty well occasionally. So look, Bordercon's been and gone, and Leon missed a quarter of it.
It was the best 1.5 days of gaming I've had all year.
He was a bit sleepy, go bye-byes. So we had to make up for it on Tuesday night, where my games room got to host the first non-me and my kids game.
Have you got a games room, Garth?
I do have a games room. You might have heard me talking about it, and you might have indeed sat on my lounge.
I did, yes.
In preparation. So the game we are talking about is Detective.
A modern crime board game.
Yes, a modern... It's not crime fighting because you definitely aren't doing any form of that, at least in case one, which is not even what we're going to talk about because we cannot spoil anything about this game.
Correct.
Because in the base game, and it is a Portal Games game by Ignacy Trevicek and
Prism Schlau Rima and Jakub Laporte.
Correct.
I was just about to say that.
And in this particular game, 1 to 5 intrepid wannabe or actual detectives will be trying to solve not one, not two, not three, not four, but indeed 5 space crimes over the course of five cases, which will go, oh, look, it says 120 to 180 minutes. And for us, we had a team of four and we played it for pretty much 3 hours on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might sound like a long, it might sound like a short. It doesn't matter as long as everyone's having fun. And were we? Well, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about this particular game is that once you take the shrink off the box, take the box lid off, you're about 50% ready to play already. Because you take out the rules, you place down this really baby little cute board. It's so nitty
bitty. It is tiny board, yeah.
Squeeze its cheeks and go, oh, you're critical. You place your IT marker on it, which is a little grey car, and you put it in your headquarters. You get your day marker and you place it on the day. You get your little stopwatch marker, which is to track the hours of the day. You place that on 8 a.m. And you get case one, place the cards. Don't shuffle them. Don't look at them. Just place them on the table in the order in which you got them. Choose a character. Boom. Everyone's ready to go.
Almost.
Well, what did I miss?
Well, you got to log on to the Antares database and set up your team ID, if you like, so that when you play through the cases, you can log in again and come back to where you were.
That is true, because this game bridges that massive chasm between cardboard and information technology.
Is it the first game that you have to have Wi-Fi to play?
You can have 4G?
No. No? What's another one?
Well,
app-based ones don't necessarily need internet to run the apps.
Yeah. Oh well, I was going to say. Chronicles of Crime. Obviously, I don't know whether they all download into the app or whether you need a live connection.
Yeah, I've got you there.
You have actually. I don't know.
It's way too late for us to be thinking about that. So yes, you do need to log on. You do need to provide an email address and presumably a password to get yourself set up. But that's going to be how you'll track your leads throughout the course of each individual case. And look, it is an overarching story, apparently.
Mm.
Leon and I have only done case one. Mark, have you gone any further than that?
Yeah, so Sarah and I have played up to the end of case three.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. Fantastic, Mr. Know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll sit down, you'll choose your characters, and essentially you will then do what you were instructed to do on page one of the case book, which is a secondary, not rule book, but it tells you how to set up every single case. Tells you any slight variations to an otherwise very easy to read rule set. It will tell you what starting tokens you have. You might have some extra authority tokens that you'll be able to use. They might give you some other specifics about where you have to start on a particular day. You might not start at headquarters. You might have to start in one of the other locations for a reason that might become apparent as the case progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But then you read the first page, which will give you the overview about what it is that you as detectives are trying to achieve and how long you have to do it. Now, case one, you get 4 days. A day goes from 8 a.m. through to 4 p.m.
Because, of course, every good detective like clocks out at 4 p.m., don't they?
The amount of coppers I've met over the years that said, oh, the best thing about my job, mate, you get in there at 8, you're out of the door at 4, you leave the job behind, you don't have to worry about a thing.
Exactly. So for someone like Leon who routinely brags while simultaneously complaining about doing 12-hour days, and you don't know if you're working unless it's more than 12 hours.
Yeah.
To have an 8-to-4 day sounds like virtual retirement.
It's a holiday for me, that's what that would be.
But you can do overtime. But geez, it gets stressful.
Yes.
You can work beyond 4 o'clock, and indeed you can work all through the night, but for every hour after 4, you get a stress token.
I just love the idea of a bullpen full of detectives sitting there all stressed out of their minds, coffee, hands jittering. It's 5 past 5 and we're still here.
Anyway, that's how your day will go, and in case one, you'll have 4 days to do it. And really, mechanically, there's really not much to it. This is a simple game.
Yeah.
It does give you a little bit of a heads up because there are multiple things that you'll be able to do. You will be able to follow up leads. You'll be able to dig deeper into those leads. You'll be able to browse the Antares website that you have so elegantly talked about, Mark. You can, in fact, even browse the internet.
Yes.
only under controlled situations and when it explicitly tells you and you have to type in exactly what it says.
Yes, Bo.
But you can do it.
You can't just Google anything that comes up.
You can do exciting work like...
There's always one.
Yeah.
Writing a report. You can use your investigator special abilities, which is good to have because the abilities do work well in a team environment in which this is. Or you can do something else, and the something else will be dependent on the cards or the information or the leads or whatever. But you need to have bits of paper because there'll be people doing writing.
Oh, yeah.
You need to have someone with some sort of internet-savvy fingers. And you need a good conversation and ideally people willing to get into the story of this because you will be spending a good 3 hours on this in each case, especially if you're playing with more than two.
Now, as Mark, you said, you and Sarah have played this with two players mainly. Now, we played it with four. I'd be interested to see how you guys did it, but from our point of view... I said you can go up to five with this.
Correct.
But what we had in our game is we had Garth basically reading out the cards and all the text from the game.
Was he doing the funny voices?
No. Well, his own. And, my wife, Sarah, she was the note taker. Mm-hmm. Bo was the Google/Wikipedia man on a laptop.
Yep.
And I was the one with the iPad with the Antheris database system. And that worked perfectly.
Okay.
We all knew our jobs. We all could rely on, look to the other person, rely on the certain things, and that worked an absolute treat. What did you do with two?
So we had Sarah. She's brilliant at taking notes, and I'm hopeless because I miss things.
Yep.
So she is the... We've got like a... I took it out of the box so you guys wouldn't see it before I gave it to you, but we've got a huge wad of notes. We have actually, prior to case three, I went out and I bought Sarah a murder board, a whiteboard... Where, and I went into, I photocopied some of the photos from that you find later on, and we put them on bits of paper so we can stick them up on our whiteboard, we can draw lines between them, and we can do a real murder boardy type thing. That's how geeky we've got into it.
Did you get yourself a Bobby's hat too?
She's in charge of all that.
I just want to see the small talk from Officeworks. What's that for? Murder.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, I read pretty much all the cards.
Yep.
And then I'll have the laptop. Now, the only thing I'd ask, so I'd be doing the Antares and the Googling on the same laptop. The only thing I'd ask about with your division of labour is, and you said already Bo was, you know, just Googling stuff, which is clearly in the game.
He didn't do much of it, but half the stuff he was Googling, I was like, that's a character they've clearly made up for this game, Bo, but if you want to Google it in the corner, I'm not going to stop you.
Well, I mean, my only thought with that is, and... Obviously, I've seen three cases now, is you're not looking up a huge amount. Like, you're using the Antares database quite a bit, but you're not doing a lot of Googling.
Well, he was kind of browsing the database as while we were during the times when he wasn't doing...
Yeah.
I say Googling, it was Wikipedia 99% of the
time. Yeah, yeah,
that's right. Which is good, because that's a very good pro of this game that we'll get out of the way early, is that you can have people logged in to the same game on different accounts, something that with Chronicles of Crime I mentioned was my biggest negative of the game by a country mile. This is something that you could have four people around with four iPads, which I think would be a great way to play this.
Mm.
And you wouldn't even need to really be sitting near each other, really, to do it, which would be cool.
Well, because I was really curious to hear how that went because, look, let's get out there. Sarah and I have absolutely loved this game. Can't wait to play the fourth and fifth cases. We're absolutely going to buy the expansion that's available now. But I was thinking about, much as I did with the Chronicles of Crime and even other story-based games, as a couple, we love sharing the story, but once the group gets a little bit bigger, I don't know how much you lose. So I'm really glad to hear that you didn't really lose much in the telling of the story.
No, well, I think the really good thing about this, comparing it to, I mean, the obvious comparison is Chronicles and then also Sherlock
Holmes.
Sherlock, yeah. But the great thing is because of the division in, I guess, roles.
Yeah.
Everyone was having a turn, bar your wife, Sarah, who chose not to do a huge amount of the role-playing side of things, was happy to take the notes. But everyone was willing and able to read.
Yeah.
You know, I read the cards, Leon will read from the database, Bo would chime in with some other parts of the database because he might have been looking at another excerpt from a different witness who was, you know, connected to the one that Leon was talking about. So everyone was able to stay engaged and stay connected. And look, one of the things it does say very clearly in this rule book is you don't want to rush through.
Yeah.
You don't want to be playing this game with a plane to catch in 2 hours. You want to savour every bit of card and every bit of information and take more notes than you need, because that's the fun of it. It's yeah. all about the story. It's about getting immersed in there. And you read that in the cards, and no doubt we will talk about the quality of writing at some point. But the cards mention sitting down and eating and drinking and all that kind of stuff quite a bit. Because yeah. you spend time in a police office waiting for stuff to yeah. happen. So you go and it tells you on the card, oh, I'm going to get a donut. Oh, I'm going to get some really horrible coffee here. And that's simulating to whatever degree the environment that you've got to play yeah. within.
And you mentioned there is obviously there's a time track and things take time, which at times is frustrating.
Yes.
Because you, like I guess any of the any good game, you've got so many things to do. You've got your list of leads that you're able to follow, and then you're looking at your time track going, but there's only 4 hours left in the day. And I know because the rule book gives you a rough idea of, well, if you go and do field work, which is one category of lead, that can be 2 to 4 hours. Plus, it takes you an hour to get from one location to another. If you're going to go to the Richmond Police Department, generally that I think that might be like 1 to 3 hours. If you're going to go to the lab, it's going to be 1 to 4 hours. And so you're thinking, well, I've got all these things I want to do, but maybe I might just have to stay here at headquarters because I might be lucky to get 2 or 3 cards. Because when you reveal the card, one of the first things it says on, I think, on the top right is the time that activity takes Correct. You. And you're sort of hoping, well, maybe we might be able to squeeze in 3 things. Or the game might tell you, okay, well, tomorrow you're going to start at this location because of a thing.
Yeah.
We've got other things to do at that location, so let's save them to tomorrow morning. And you're trying to manage your day like that. I found that quite fascinating. That, and so there is, whilst there's not a time pressure of, we've got to pump through this game quickly, there is the time pressure in the story.
There certainly is, and you will not have time no. to follow up every no. lead. You will not have time to do everything you want to. You will not be able to go and burn and do an all-nighter, because one of the conditions of each case, using case one as an example only, is that if you ever have accrued a certain number of stress tokens, yep. that basically ends your involvement in the investigation and you go then through to the final report yes. stage. And that is the conclusion to each of the cases that you do, is final report. It'll be triggered by more than likely you running out of time, but you may figure out, I know this, I've got everything. I know every bit of information in this old noggin of mine. This lead is followed up, everything 100% signed, sealed and delivered. Let's go to the final report.
Well, the other thing you have to be so careful of is if you ever get to that maximum number of stress tokens for the mission, the end of the mission is automatically triggered. You right. have to stop. So if you made a mistake and on day one, you thought, oh, I'll just follow up this one more, you know, it's 4 o'clock, we've got, look, this wouldn't happen, but it's 4 o'clock, we've got, say, 5 hours of five stress tokens we're allowed to take, and you flip over a lead and it said, oh, this lead takes you 6 hours or even 5, that's the end of the game right there. You, yeah. you follow that lead and then you're done. And you have to be so careful each day that how close can I push up to that line yeah. without going over? And that's where, I don't know about you guys, but you said the characters have special abilities, and there's one character that has a special ability that allows you to spend one of those authority tokens to remove a stress.
We which did indeed use that character.
I was going to say, I don't know how you would ever play without that character, because that character has come in so much use for us. And you couple that with the, I think there's one character that enables you to get, but they write a report and they get an authority token.
They get two instead
yes,
of one.
Yes, that's yeah, right.
It does have that kind of symptom of like the pandemic
yeah.
where there's like 6 characters, but like four yeah. of them are like, well, clearly it's got to be these. Like I said, I put them out in front of everybody and I yeah. read them before everyone got to the table and I went, I think we should take these four. Yeah. It seems very obvious to yeah. me. And then everyone had a quick glance at them and kind of went, well, yeah. Why on earth would we take these over those other two?
Yeah, and one of them is a sort of a promo, I understand.
Okay.
In the original game, I think there were only meant to be 5.
Yeah, okay.
And I can't remember which one, but it's one of the female characters was a promo.
Yeah, and the good thing about this, as you said, when you get to the end game, whether it's by stress or at the end of it, yeah. when you answer all the questions and whatnot, if you do really, really badly, it gives you a prompt to kind of say, maybe you want another have another crack at yeah. this case, maybe you want to do it again. If you do good or good enough, it records that and it goes, okay, you've solved the case to some extent.
Stamp, case closed.
And then we'll move on to the next bit from there, which I think is a really, really good thing. There's nothing worse than, well, I've got to the end of one of a Sherlock mission before and just like, yeah, we went horrible at
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but when this you flat get minus out, points.
And this flat out just tells you, yeah, you should probably look a different direction and do that again.
Yeah, so look, the reason we're talking about this is because of the Kenner nomination mm-hmm. and it's up against some pretty hefty competition. So there's not too much more to really talk about Detective with keeping it a spoiler-free conversation. But needless to say, if you like games such as Sherlock and Chronicles of Crime,
yeah.
this one really feeds that same story itch. It really works really nicely, really seamlessly, actually, with the internet, be it the Antares database or being able to access Google and Wikipedia and internet, which it freely advises you to do.
Mm.
It's not necessary. It just will give you a bit of more context.
Oh, maybe it is necessary, Garth.
Well, maybe
it is. Don't jump to conclusions.
Now, speaking of jumping to conclusions, are we going to talk about our thoughts about this game or are we going to wait to our next little discussion?
I think we can go into it a little bit more because there are a couple of aspects. So it has copped a bit of flack around the internet for the writing.
Yes.
And I think particularly the, let's call it guff.
Yes.
About you walk down the passageway, you observe the coffee machine, you don't know if it's working or not. Should you risk it? You've heard the stories about the coffee here at Richmond PD. And it has that, a lot of that mundane guff that just, you're reading and you're going, let's get to the real stuff.
Yeah. Correct.
That's one criticism. And then another is potentially that the stories aren't fantastic. Now, obviously, having only played one story, you may not be able to comment, but how did you find the writing generally?
Oh, look, I think the writing is certainly wordy in a lot of aspects, and the level of detail that it describes a waiting room yeah. in a lab while you're waiting for something to be analysed, I think we're just not used to it. Is probably more the crime committed here because we as gamers want to get to the goal, want to get to the achievement. I've come to the lab to get this thing analysed, so just tell me what it's being, you know, what the result of it is. I don't want to know that the donuts are a day old and that person had a really bad day, but they're going to have a cigarette break. I don't care.
But with only five cases in the box, a little bit of, I wouldn't say stretching, but a little bit of embellishment doesn't hurt. And also, Chronicles of Crimes and Sherlock, which you have to compare this game to,
yep.
copped the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For different yeah. reasons of levels of writing, but like the Sherlock, some of the sentences in that, because it's written in the old-timey wimey, yeah. as they say, some of it was really difficult to read, especially yeah. out loud just off the top of your head.
And also with the font used in the actual books, some of it was actually tricky to read.
And yeah. some of Chronicles of Crime has kind of copped it as well with some of like the stereotypes of different characters yeah. as well. So none of them are without fault, but they're all, none of them where I think you'd play it and go, oh, that was so horrible because of the writing, I'd never touch it again.
And at the end of the day, you're reading maybe a paragraph or
yep.
two.
Yeah.
So it takes 30 seconds to read a card. And look, a lot of the cards, half the text on the card might be that guff, and then it will tell you something about the lead or the bit of
yep.
bit that you have analysed or the whatever it might be. And then some of the cards will just direct you to flip over and there's more information there, or you might have to dig deeper and spend yeah. a token to be able to do that, or you might need to take whatever it is to another particular location to be able to flip it over and get some more information. So I think if you approach this with, we're getting into a story yeah. game, just go with it.
It's certainly telling part of the story. Another thing I found a little bit frustrating, I think, was because time is such a pressure in this game is, if I'm going to go to the lab and I'm going to take some samples to the lab and get them analysed, and that's going to take 3 hours, well, I'm also going to take my laptop with me.
Yep.
So while I'm sitting in the waiting room at the lab, I can do some research on the Antares database.
Which doesn't
cost
time. Or I
can make some phone calls.
Yes.
Or I can do and I think, you know, because there is such time pressure and, you know, that 8-4 goes so quickly when a single lead might be three or four hours to follow up. That thing of, but hang on, couldn't I just make some calls while I'm here in the waiting room?
No, you know, you can't. No,
it's not realistic, I guess. I get it that the game is balanced for it to be that way.
Mark, you can't multitask in that way.
No, I think you could easily do that. You could easily have on those cards saying, if you're, you know, during this bit of the task, if you have something else you need to do in the lab that would cost two time, you may do that now.
I agree.
I don't think that'd be too hard of a stretch, because that's exactly what happened in our game. We went to the lab with like two or three things.
Yeah.
And as you said, one of them took like 4 hours. Like, we could have so done the other things while we were literally waiting
for a result.
And
there could be a card or an instruction that says, feel free if there's a three-hour task to do any of these things, which might include writing a report, which gets you some more additional tokens, or doing something that will aid your case that is not blatantly breaking the rules and looking at more lens.
And of course, look, if you're able to do that, obviously, then they'd probably say, well, instead of having four days to get this case done, now you've only got 2 days. So I'm sure it would balance out, but it was a mild frustration to us. I didn't find the writing so much of an issue. I did wonder, though, when you compare to Chronicles of Crime and the QR codes, a lot of the cards had guff and then one line, which was, you know, type this into the database or go and look at this in the database. And I wondered whether QR codes might be a way to have the flow between card and database to be better. I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed all the database, and you'll find some interesting things coming into play in the database later on down the track.
Oh, look, I think the next big step is going to be voice acting on these things.
Yes.
Because I think if there was QR codes in either Chronicles or this that lead to voices of characters reading this, that'll be the next step. And I think that's where people's minds could be blown. But we really better move this on. Otherwise, we're not going to talk about the Kenner. So let's just pause here.
Yeah.
Let's take a song, and maybe we can start our Kenner with thoughts on Detective leading into then the other games in that particular category. You are with the Dice Men Cometh. It's cold, it's wet, it's miserable here, but I hope wherever you are, it's lovely. We will be back in a moment. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Hi, my name's Jo. The Dice Men Cometh, they're so much fun and occasionally sober.
Right, you are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and that was a song called Blepharitis, we think, by a band called Naked, we think, who apparently are Australian and local Tasmanians.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And you're on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. Now, gentlemen, it's good we're getting in early, because the Kenner Spiel des Jahres, and indeed the Spiel des Jahres, the German Game of the Year Awards, the nominations have been announced, and they will be drawn, I believe, the winner's going to be announced round about, I think it's about the 20th of July.
Yeah,
or 2021,
something like 22,
something
like that, yeah.
And I know a couple of times we've sort of just struggled to get this conversation in before the awards were announced. We also know, statistically, that a lot of people are listening to the show 2 to 3 weeks after we've actually recorded it, just because life gets in the way and not everyone has a lot of podcast listening time. So hopefully most of you will have time to listen to this before the actual awards are announced. Then you can judge our judgment.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Now, the Kenner Spiel. Kenner, and I think I might have mentioned this last year, but I'm going to mention it again. So Kenner is a German word, means something like, there's not an exact translation. It sort of means connoisseur. The root of the word, as in Ken, means to know something. So we're almost saying people who know games, who are in the know,
oh, that's
like
certainly
these
us, then.
Games.
Oh,
that's right.
Gosh, that's so
However, it is interesting to see how the Kenner Spiel has changed. So it was first awarded in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Seven Wonders by Anton Bauer was the first winner of the Kenner Spiel. Before that, they'd had a couple of like special awards where they'd mentioned advanced game or a game for serious gamers, but it was a sort of a sporadic thing. The Kenner started in 2011, Seven Wonders won it. 2012 was Village by Inker and Marcus Brand. Obviously, a little bit more of a heavy Euro.
Mm.
2013, Legends of Andor by Michael Menzel. So again, look, it's not the heaviest of games, but it's definitely up there. It has complexity.
Yep.
2014, Istanbul, Rudiger Dorn.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
2015, Broom Service by Pelican and Fister, which we said was a reworking of Witch's Brew.
Yep. Yeah.
And we all actually think we've never actually seen a copy of that game.
Not being played.
I've seen Cobb for sale. Sold, especially. I've never seen it played.
2016 Isle of Skye was Pelican and Pfister again.
Yep.
2017 was The Exit Games by Inca and Marcus Brandon. 2018, Quacks of Quedlingburg by Wolfgang Vorsch.
Sure. Well, I've played every single one of those except Broom Service. That's not bad.
I've played Witch's Brew. Yeah. But apart from that, I've played all the others. Now, look, Seven Wonders isn't a heavy game.
No.
I think previously Agricola had got one of those special awards.
Yep.
Village is a little bit heavier. The Legends of Andor, Istanbul. But, look, you wouldn't say these are... You wouldn't really call them gamers' games as such, would you?
Not really.
Not to the, I guess, people who are deep into our hobby like we are.
Not at all.
Isle of Skye and Quacks of Quedlingburg, and especially the Exit game, they're especially now in that they're... introductory games. Yeah, they're games that I would happily play with non-gamers. And Broom Service, I'm just going to take a stab from the look of the box, is probably the same.
Yeah, it's lightish. And I think at the same time, we've seen the Kenner sort of drift towards lighter end. We've absolutely seen that with the Spiel. You know, I mean, back in the day, you know, proper Euro games like Kalos won the Spiel, whereas now it's almost the lightest of the light games to be nominated.
Mm. Yes.
Now, I did a little bit of research, believe it or not. Wow. There aren't firm criteria for the Kenner Award, but the jury talk about the criteria that they look at for all the awards, and I think these apply. Now, before I talk about this, do we have anything more to say about Detective, or will we go over these first, then we can talk about how Detective fits
in? Well, I think it'll probably come up in the stuff we're about to chat about.
Okay. So this is word for word off the Spiel des Jahres website. So they say, ultimately, it's the overall impression that counts. And the question was asked, you know, how do you judge the games? Ultimately, it's the overall impression that counts, the enjoyment of playing the game that can't be broken down into individual measurable pieces. Nevertheless...
So it's the vibe.
Yeah, that's right. There are criteria which help evaluate a game. Does it have a completely new concept, or does it bring existing elements together to create a new experience? Has the concept been realised in such a way as to engage the players? Does it seem organic and whole, or artificial and constructed? Looking at you, pasted on theme. Are the rules sensibly constructed, clear, understandable, free of gaps, contradictions and errors? And we know, I think we talked last year about the Spiel jury talked about a lot of games being thrown out of even consideration because the rule books were so difficult.
Yeah, games that we thought, why are they not in here, surely? And they just said, great game, we agree with you, could probably have won. Rulebook was garbage.
Yeah, that's right. Do the components match their function? Are they sturdy and durable? And is the design attractive? Do the box, game boards, rules and components complement each other?
Yeah.
So
it's pretty good sort of
topics,
I reckon, there for the judges to be looking at, actually.
And just to remind everyone, as we said, the three nominees for this year... Carpe Diem by Stefan Feld, published by Alia and Ravensburger. And Feld was also nominated in 2011 for Strasbourg for the Kenner Spiel and 2013 for Bruges, but he's only ever been the bridesmaid, interestingly enough. Wingspan, obviously, by Elizabeth Hargraves and published by Stone Meyer Games. And, of course, Detective, a Modern Crime Board Game by Ignacy Trevicek, Prezem Shlor Rima and Jakub Lapot and Portal Games. Now, first I want to say good on Portal Games because they've had a couple of games, and I'm looking at you, Robinson Crusoe and then First Martians, where the rule book was such a huge issue.
And it was a game in itself to try and decipher it, and you felt like you won when you actually figured out how to play the game.
Well, I think so many people were... Have I talked about First Martians?
I don't listen to much of
that. Anyway, so many people have been put off that game because of the reviews, which is so sad because it's a fantastic game, but the rulebook is definitely a stumbling block. And what they've done here is almost the opposite with Detective, where there are actually very, very few rules, and where they bring in new ones, it's through... in the mechanics of the game, on the cards or in the casebook and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a general introduction as opposed to you've got these 3,000 things you need to know before you even start. It's really, there's a very, very low barrier to entry with that game.
Yeah, well, look, I would start our conversation, if indeed that's where we're going, with the detective, just because it is the freshest in, particularly, I guess, for Leon and myself.
Yeah.
In terms of the criteria that you've just listed, Mark, and I'm just going to go in reverse order because it makes sense to me, is the design attractive to the box game boards, rules and components complement each other? Well, yeah, they do, but they're not exceptional. The board is itty-bitty. It's got one little wooden meeple car, one little red and wooden something or other that's...
That doesn't quite fit the space
it uses. And I don't know what it's meant to be. And then you've got one little blue wooden stopwatchy-shaped marker, and that's it. And then you've got a deck of cards.
Yeah.
And not surprisingly, it feels like almost all the resources, the time and the effort has gone into the Antares database and the online portion of it.
And the writing.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. The design for the Antares database, as well as you could say that is somewhat of a component as well.
Mm.
That database is really, really good.
Yeah.
They have done a very, very good job. If that was not very good, the whole game pretty much would have collapsed under the weight of that.
Correct.
So they've done a very good job.
Yeah, it's easy to navigate, isn't it, between the different sections of fingerprints and other data and interviews and all the sorts of things.
And you can easily, especially on the iPad, it was literally just two taps to back to where you want to go to. So you've got no hassle there.
I will point out, I think I mentioned the expansion, and I don't know why, but in the expansion, they've made the board quite a bit bigger. So whether it has some extra functions, I don't know.
Just new locations, I would have thought.
Interestingly, in the expansion, though, you get a new board, you get new tokens because those bits have changed how they work on the board. You obviously get new cases. The only things that carry over, and you get new characters because it's set in LA in the 1980s, is sort of like a
LA Confidential sort of thing.
Beverly Hills Cop type time period. So basically, the only thing you're using are the tokens, which.
It's not
a standalone expansion. Yeah, it's a bit interesting.
All right, so do the components match their function? Are they sturdy and durable?
So hang on,
scoring?
A little table here, but I think we should keep it secret.
All right.
And then we'll add it all up in the end. So just
I haven't got a pencil, so you guys go nuts.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
I'll lend you mine.
That's fine.
While we're doing,
because that's fun for radio listeners, I have two yes or no questions I would like to ask.
Yes.
About this.
No.
Right, the recommended runner-up list for this category this year.
Oh, yes.
Architects of the West Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
Newton,
yep.
Paper Tales, yep. and Lowlands. Now, none of us have played Lowlands,
no.
but I've seen it. It looks all right. I would happily play it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of them. Yes or no, should any of those be here instead of Carpe Diem?
Oh, well, we haven't talked about Carpe Diem
yet. We can't talk about how bad a game Carpe Diem is until we talk about it.
I want a yes or no answer.
Well, I absolutely, like I mentioned it last week, I loved Newton when I played it at Bordercon for the first time. It really surprised me. But looking at the style of game, I feel like it's too heavy for the Kenner.
Okay.
And that's why I'm interested that it's been recommended. And Architects of the West Kingdom, I mean, one of those games was on the list last year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
one of
Raiders.
Raiders of the North Sea was actually a nominee last year.
Sure was.
Architects is tiny bit heavier, but not a lot. So potentially,
only tiny. Anyway, I agree. Anyway, I think
maybe
Newton is too complicated.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know Paper Tales.
Paper Tales fits the category, and I had a really good time with it. It's very light, sort of card drafting and very basic. Kind of like Seven Wonders where you're fighting your neighbours.
I believe Lowlands may be a bit in the complicated zone too.
Look, Architects would be the one sort of that I would put the circle around and go, definitely deserves to be on the recommended list. However, again, I would say it's just that smidge too complicated now for Kenner.
Okay.
You're dealing initially with a source of 21 little meeples that you've got to try and manage, and then they come and they go, and there's a whole bunch of looking at other people's cards. I think it might be a bit too complicated.
Either way, well, that yes or no question died in the ass.
But you think so.
I got neither of the answers. But one I do want to broach, should Chronicles of Crime be there instead of Detective? I think, yes, it should. I don't think Detective should be there over Chronicles of Crime. I mean, again, they could have had a rubbish rule book. It might have been what year it came out technically because it was Kickstarter and stuff. But just from my critic point of view, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in this category, I think Chronicles of Crime makes more sense to be here than Detective.
I wonder, because there are rules around which aren't in this criteria around the released in Germany and produced by a German company.
Yeah.
Something, whether there's a slight technicality there. Look, don't get me wrong, I have loved both of those games.
I might be slightly leaning towards a detective at this stage between the two. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I would probably slightly lean toward Chronicles as well, possibly because it does in an hour and a half to 2 hours,
yeah,
what can certainly take 3 hours in Detective. And for these games, Carpe Diem you can knock over in half an hour. Wingspan, when you're not playing the game that we played, could be knocked over in an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Detective, what's the shortest amount of time that you and Sarah have taken?
Oh, gee. It wouldn't be 2 hours.
As in it would be the wrong side of 2 hours?
Well, it'd be more than 2 hours, yeah. I think. Which we love because it's one of those event games.
And as I say, it's not a bad thing. It's not a criticism of the game. It's just a thing about this game.
Yeah.
I feel like it's too long, personally.
Well, look, while Leon's filling in his box, obviously there's the rules.
Yep.
And Detective obviously has got to score reasonably high marks for the rules.
Yeah, they're very clear. They're very concise. It guides you through it. And it makes it very clear what you can and can't do on the internet and on the database that you have. Yeah. So, look, I mean, I'll add up my numbers like all of us and we'll see how we go. But should we move along?
Well, I was going to say, just quickly, and then we might even take a break and do the last two.
Yeah.
Whether it's organic whole, whether it's artificial and constructed, I think it doesn't feel like bits and pieces are pasted on. I think it works really well as a whole concept.
Yeah, I agree. But it's not original.
Well, that's obviously,
it's another topic.
Completely new concept and new experience.
Nah.
Yeah.
Detective, I was going to say it in the previous chat. I literally could give it like a 2 in that category as far as I'm concerned, out of like 10.
Completely new concept.
It is Sherlock Holmes consulting detective with a database. That's exactly what it is.
And on
there's literally nothing else.
Oh, you should have ended on that bombshell. And then we're going to throw to a song. So here's a really quick song. And then we're going to come back and talk about Carpe Diem very briefly, Wingspan and the scores associated with that. You're on the Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Man Cometh.
Hello, everyone. Your friendly neighbourhood Leon here. Just a quick break in the action to remind you all on how the fun ways you can support the show. You can jump on over to Patreon where you can donate, which has helped us over the last 5 years get to great conventions all around Australia and hopefully internationally. You can give as much or as little as you like. Personally, I would ask, maybe just give us a dollar. I give to about 12 different podcasts a dollar a month. I don't even notice that it's gone, but trust me, they know that it's in there, and if everyone listening to my voice right now gave us that dollar, we would be much, much appreciative. Also, you could jump onto Redbubble and type in Dice Men Cometh and get any kind of merch there that you're after. You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, you can get mugs, you can get stickers, any type of size, colours, anything you want. We've been doing them for years, and they are absolute quality. Also, you could go over to iTunes and chuck us a cheeky 5-star review. It doesn't seem like much, but it is the reason how we get our podcast out there to international listeners especially, because those charts put us ahead of things like Google searches and things like that, and it is also very, very helpful. And just follow us all on the social medias. You've got your Facebooks, you've got your Instagrams, you've got your Twitters, you've got all that kind of stuff. Every single bit of it, we put different content on it, so it's not just the same stuff recycled over and over again. And if you want to get in touch with us for any reason whatsoever, you can get in touch with us on those socials or at dicemencometh@gmail.com. We've had many, many sponsors over the years, so if you're interested in sponsorship opportunities for the show or anything to that nature, that's where you can get a hold of us. Now, back to the action.
Well, there you go. That was Hextet with Loops. A little Aussie band there. You with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We are down to our last 10 minutes or so, and we have two more games that are Kenner nominated that we need to talk about all over the top of each other while the other ones are writing in pencil about the scores. So we talked about Wingspan as what we've been playing last week. So let's chat about that one briefly.
Uh-huh.
Same criteria.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, looking at design and components and everything, it's an absolutely gorgeous game.
Yeah.
Everything in it is really functional. You talked about the tray allowing you to pick up the cards much easier. You've got the dice box that doesn't only just help you roll the dice, but it sits in there nicely.
Yep.
Although, of course, Garth would like to have slots for the cards.
Wouldn't that be great to have little slots on the top of the bird thing so that they could be sitting on the bird feeder?
It wouldn't hurt, but it is, yes.
But the rules, I think, I would say they're reasonable, but I found at least one card where
it wasn't quite clear on the card and you weren't able to look up that card, which I was amazed about given there's not that many cards and a few of them are repeated.
Correct.
So I was quite surprised about that.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you open the book and people explain it and it just sounds a bit more complicated than it really is, and that comes down to, I think, really good proofreading, a lot of playtesting to make sure that it's stripped back while still retaining any story elements there. Look, I mean, obviously the components, that's the thing that have got everyone talking about, the birdhouse and the big chunky dice and the little cute eggs. At the end of the day, Stonemaier has a reputation, justifiably so, for producing high-quality componentry. They should be rewarded in that case. But, again, the boards are pretty plain. They're just plain boards. They're made well, but they're just plain, and they look increasingly more attractive as you get the bird cards on
them. Well, there is like grass and water and stuff
on there. There is, but I don't think that took the artist much time to do in comparison to all the amazing bird art.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, I think it'll score quite well for how well it looks. And then, obviously, we've got the old Feld. Emphasis on the old Feld.
Now, obviously, we mentioned this game last week in our Bordercon chat where I don't know whether it was dud or dog or let down or whatever category it was, but oh my goodness, could there be any less imagination applied in this game? When I sat down, I felt like they had picked three or four things from three or four well-known Euro games, thrown them all together a la Friedemann Fries's 504 game where you make a game out of other games, and then find the blandest illustrations you could find.
Oh, it's like clip art for board gaming, isn't it?
And bad clip art. And then make everything very similar colours and tones, so it just, it looks bloody horrible.
Look, we'll have to talk about it because it is a Kenneth Spiel nominated game, so maybe we can, maybe not feature it next week, but talk about it. But, yeah, look, I mean, Leon
was so disappointed.
It was probably the only time on Sunday that I was envying Leon by being asleep. And it's a shame because Richard, who taught us this game, taught it expertly and very clearly and very succinctly and then schooled us in the game. So it plays well. It was half an hour, 40 minutes, which is quick, which is good.
Yep.
But, again, in that time space, geez, there's a lot of other games I'd much rather play.
It is rather telling as well that, you know, as since I've been a Dice Man, which is about 3 years or so now, every time these awards have come up and we've gone to Bordercon or PAX or wherever else, I've always gone like, right, we've got to get those games done, got to get them played, got to get them under the belt. And I knew you guys were going to play Carpe Diem at some point, so I literally just went, I have no desire to play this. I know I should for the sake of what I'm supposed to be doing on the show,
Leon.
But I just looked at it and just went, I know it's, I can't imagine this is going to rock my world, and I was right, by the, I'm guessing.
Oh, look, I had a little bit of fun playing it, but it was more the company, it was more the effort that Richard put into teaching it and making the game flow, but I just oozed disappointment the whole time that you can do, and Stefan Feld has done, so much better than this. It's like, it just felt like lazy design, or it's like, quick, Stefan, you got to knock this thing out in 5 minutes.
Yeah, March 31 is coming. Needs to be released in Germany now. Get to it.
I don't understand.
And just the simple fact that, like, say, last year, Quacks of Quedlinburg won. Well, imagine if Carpe Diem won and you have them sitting next to each other, like two tables next to each other.
Yep.
You'd be so depressed if you're sitting there playing Carpe Diem and someone was playing Quacks next to you.
All right,
having a ball.
Let's switch this into what we're going to be, how our numbers lay out. Because
the one thing I am concerned about, Garth, before I go on, I mentioned Stefan Feld has been a runner-up twice in the Kenner Spiel. And we know in the past, you know, look up, it hasn't been proven, but we know in the past they have rewarded designers who have been in the hobby, and sometimes you've looked at that particular game and gone, that wasn't their best game ever, but maybe they felt like, well, it was about time, you know, we've given this guy a couple of cracks. Maybe.
I hope that you've written numbers down based on what you think,
not based on
what you think a judge would think, because that's what I want to know, Mark. What goes on in that delicious head of yours?
Let's just say that,
well, you go first.
I struggled to add up some of the others because most of the numbers were from 5 to 10. When we said we've got 6 categories and we've rated them out of 10.
Correct.
Carpe diem was very easy to add up. When you go one plus one plus one.
Oh, come on now.
Anyway, carpe diem, out of 60, I gave it 13.
Wow.
That is not a good
now,
score.
The only person who would score it less in this room, I think, would be Leon, because not applicable is less than 13.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I scored at 24. So I scored
generous.
Completely new concept. Or not very good engaging. No, organic rules. Yeah, the rules are fine. But that's because it's a bloody simple game.
That was the top marks for me. Rules. Correct. Was five.
Components. Oh, bog standard.
Yeah.
Attractive design. No. So, look, I feel like gamers should feel compelled to play it because it's Kenner nominated, but it's certainly, for my mind, not in the same caliber as either Wingspan or Detective.
Leon, I'm curious.
Oh, Carpe Diem. I didn't even do it because I'd not played it. So, right. Minus 75.
Okay, Wingspan.
All right. So, obviously, ranked really highly in the components and interactive design. And, in fact, in those two areas, I actually gave it maximum points.
Ooh.
Maybe I'm being a little bit generous with the new concept, the new experience, where I rated it just slightly above average. I think it's quite engaging. Maybe I'm a bit generous. Anyway, 46.
46 out of
60.
Garthy boy, the person that was least liked this game at Portacon?
Yeah, well, I didn't like it as much as Mark, it must be said. My number started with a 3. Ooh, so, look, completely new? No.
No.
The thing that's completely new is it's got some birds on it. Apart from that, it is a game that has been out there numerous times. Engaging concept? Well, yeah, if you like birds. If you don't like birds, doesn't offer anything new except birds. Organic, whole, artificial. Yeah, it's great.
Eggs are organic. Come Eggs. On now, aren't they?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Birds definitely are.
Yeah.
Rules, sensible, clear, yes, but it sounds more complicated than it actually is, which I don't like.
Yep.
Components, very high.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of production has gone into a dice tower, which is not necessary.
Mm.
Beautiful little eggs, some plastic bits and pieces. And that's all lovely. So you choose what's important. Stonemaier, high quality productions. That's great. Attractive design. Yes, absolutely. A full game of Wingspan on the board with lots of birds out there with eggs all over the place. Looks great. It got 39 from me.
Leon?
47.
Oh, wow.
I've kind of gone to this, though, from the video game critic thing, that basically any video game that's under, like, a 7 in the video game world is garbage that you're not even going to look at, and it's disgusting. So probably some of these numbers are a little bit higher, maybe because of that, but it's, I rated it pretty highly, especially the last two categories when it comes to the looks and the components.
We've got 1 minute to go. Leon? Detective.
45. Basically, 45. The main reason it fell down was the concept and the new idea of it, because it isn't at all. It's just got a really nice app. Everything else, I kind of give the standard 7s or 8s because it's pretty good in pretty much everything else.
Yeah, I agree. It was my highest one at 41 out of 60. So again, completely new concept? No. Completely new that it's got an app? Yes, kind of. The Antares database is great. Engaging concept? Yeah. I really do find myself attracted to the theme of this. Organic? Yes, it is. It's really fun. Rules? They are sensible. They are clear. They are good. Components, no, they're fine. They're not that good. And attractive design, it doesn't have a huge amount of table presence until you get 3/4 through a case and then you've got bits and pieces.
And you've got a laptop and an iPad on the table as well.
I gave it maximum points for engaging concept too, and would believe it or not, it also scored 46. Could you believe my two tied?
So
mine was 45, so.
Mark. Clearly you can't decide what's going to win, but what do you think will win?
Oh, look, I want Detective to win because I think it's a brave, bold step.
Yep.
My fear, well, I already expressed that my biggest fear is that Stefan Feld will be rewarded for his worst game ever, but I think they might be tempted to give it to Wingspan. I hope it goes to Detective.
Okay, Leon?
I want Wingspan to win. I think Wingspan will win.
Okay. I think... The Detective is just a step too far for the judges to make that a winner. I think Wingspan will win as well.
Exit won 2 years ago, though.
Yeah, I know, but they are light and they are little.
True.
This is too long, I think, for a judge. They're appealing to the German families who have already put away Llama and Werewords and just wanting to going to have some the next step.
Fair point.
It's a big step to go from a 5-minute game to 3 hours.
Haven't they heard of Nordic Noir?
Look, you know, the Germans love it.
We're going to go. Neil Steele is waiting outside the studio to jump in and do all that kind of rock and or roll. So this week we have been the Dice Men Cometh. We've been talking nothing but Kenneth Spiel. Next week, we might mention Carpe Diem again just because we love to hate
well,
it.
I won't be here, so you go nuts.
Woo-hoo.
Here you
go. We've been the Dice Men Cometh.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.